You are listening to a Pleasure Podcast. For more from our sex podcast collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.
Welcome back to Private Parts Unknown,
a podcast that explores love and sexuality around the world.
I'm Courtney Kosak.
And I'm Sophia Alexandra.
And today we are introducing you to the artist behind Doc Johnson's sex toys.
Oh! I am so excited because before we met this person, we did not even know that there was such a job as like a dick artist.
Okay, so Anjani Siddhartha is her name. We met her when we first went on the Doc Johnson tour of their sex toy factory. And back in like the recesses of their plant, there's like a special little shed area, and that is her office. And she has all these cool sculptures and different kinds of molds and everything that you need to be an amazing dick artist. And she's like a dope artist who makes regular stuff. And I love that she has used her skills to also make amazing sex toys.
Yeah, you will literally never be able to look at a dick vein on a vibrator the same way again. You won't, because you'll know that there is a woman and there is an artist behind every single vein.
So today we are going to take you behind the scenes of the Doc Johnson sex toy empire, and we're going to meet the artist who makes it all possible. Here we go. This is from my first interview with Anjani at Doc Johnson. We met her for the first time in November 2018 when we toured the factory. And then I interviewed her the March after in 2019, basically like a year before the pandemic.
I am the designer, product designer for Doc Johnson. I'm an artist. My name is Anjani, Anjani Siddhartha.
What's your inspiration?
You know, I always said that even in that time, like when I started working, I think it was 1992 or something, we didn't have the internet like we have now, you know. There was like very limited things that you could do. It's not everybody have a computer at home or at work. But now with time, over time, it becomes easier to create because now you can go to forums, you can talk to people, you can research more and see what other people is doing too, or really go into the minds of the market we're trying to reach. For example, we're doing a BDSM line. Like before, if I'm not into a BDSM, for example, what do I know about BDSM? But now that we have those resources, I can become a member of a BDSM site, forum. I can ask people, I can read what they want, what they're talking about, what turned them on, or what do they need. So all of that give me extra ideas to see what is out there and to see what I can create to make the product better or create something new, completely new. And I even, not only online, but I've been invited like to BDSM clubs. You know, there's so many here in LA. So I've been there making some friends and asking questions. And so I can really, you know, it's, in the beginning it was so simple to think that it was only said, oh, I'm gonna make a 10 inch penis. I'm gonna make a 7 inch thick penis with a big head, you know, but you're just kind of guessing what someone will want to use. But then with time, we started thinking and seeing that there is a small niche of markets, mm-hmm. and they, everybody have a different preference for something. The woman will like something different than men, or gay men will prefer something different, mm-hmm. or people who is into, we were talking about the BDSM. Mm-hmm. So we have to try to see what each market likes and what each market doesn't like.
As Anjani showed me her workspace, she told me about her designs, little inventions, she called them. and how there were different aspects to her job as a designer for Doc Johnson.
There is like two phases to my work. The clay work, which is divided into parts too. Sometimes someone cast one of the performance, mm-hmm. but the casting never comes out perfect. So I fix the little things that needs to be fixed. I make it so it can be molded, so it can be useful, you know, fix the lips, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they sometimes they squish with the material. So it's always something to do. So that's one part. The other part is I create pieces 100% from the ground up. Like this guy cannot come to be cast today or whatever for some reason. Mm-hmm. So he sent some pictures. So I'm working from pictures too.
Oh my God, amazing.
Yeah, so he sent me pictures and he sent some video because he cannot be able to come for a casting. So I'm making this.
Dude, that is spot yeah. on.
Yes, so I'm making that.
That is so close.
Yes.
Oh my God.
So that's one. And then the other part is coming out with shapes. You know, I use so many shapes from different stuff that I see.
Yeah,
around,
I think you were telling us when we came that
yes.
like, those Christmas, that was like butt plug inspiration.
Yes,
Christmas
the
balls.
Christmas ornaments I can make, it gave me an idea to make anal beads.
Uh-huh.
Or I made butt plugs from, this is for a curtain rod, you know, one of those things.
Yeah.
Things like that I see bottles, you know, all type
so
of bottles.
So you see an interesting shape.
In shape.
You'll be like, oh,
yes.
This would be great for whatever kind of
yes.
sex toy.
That's something else. That's one part. And the other part is that I create stuff completely out of my imagination. Like I created this like expanding butt plug, which we haven't done yet. So I don't know what we'll ever do, but you see it's fun. So someone will use.
Oh my
yeah.
God.
So it will expand. So someone will.
That's genius.
Yeah. So someone will use this inside and then you start doing this and they start expanding to get it more. Like more feeling, you see, it's fun. So this is just like rough prototypes, and if they decide to do this, they will, of course, they will send this to China and it will get refined, mm-hmm. soft materials, and you know, I do this just out of my imagination, playing around.
So you just made that up from scratch?
Yes, I made this from scratch. Like you see, I got the uh-huh. this and this, just from scratch, just an idea that I have. This is like a rough prototype. So if they like it, I show it to in a meeting once and they do like it, but sometimes no all products get made.
Uh-huh.
Or sometimes when I can show something in a meeting, for example, and some products get made because they are easy to make here. If they are not easy to make, they send them to China. But some of them are way too expensive to
oh,
make,
yeah.
So yeah, so they have to keep in mind the cost. So they say, oh, this will cost $5, and then we will have to sell it for 10, the store has to sell it for 20, and so they say, no, it's way too expensive. So they end up not making it, or sometimes it just, you know, like I guess every product in every company, sometimes you
yeah.
make a few things and some get on
some
the size.
Perform better.
Yeah, or, like, some, or someday you say, oh, maybe we'll do that in the future, and the future never comes. Yeah, I'm sure it happens in all companies.
Yes, sure.
Yeah, even in Apple or any company.
That is very true. Not all products get made. In fact, I bet some of the coolest stuff gets left on the cutting room floor at companies all around the world. So I had to ask Anjani about her favorite product to work on. What's been her pride and joy?
You know, I have done so many that one that I like because it was, I worked from the ground up, is the silicone handcuffs.
Uh-huh.
That
was part of the BDSM line?
That's part of the BDSM. And I realized, talking to many ladies too, that a lot of people is, you know, you think about BDSM and you think, people with chains and, you know, metal handcuffs and, you know, all the leather and all the whipping. But that's a little bit hardcore BDSM. But there is also a lot of women who want, like, the soft side of BDSM. Like, little blindfolded, maybe being tied to the bed, you know, like little domination, but very light, you know, uh-huh. not very strong. So I was thinking, you know, so some woman doesn't want to feel that metal handcuffs. So it may hurt them. They can escape. They feel a little afraid of being tied down like that. So with the silicone handcuffs, they are soft. You still feel restrained, but if you feel unsafe, you can just pull your hand and get out, you know? So it's like a playful, kind of soft,
cold
BDSM.
Like, yeah, and more empowering.
Exactly. And you can play with your boyfriend, with your husband, you know, without being too hardcore.
Yeah.
Because not everybody likes, you know, it's like, not everybody likes the heaviest, you know, it's like everything in between.
Sure.
Most have been like a big pleasure to work on, but I love the realistic stuff too, because I love to make it look so real, you know, like this, all the veins, all the little skin texture, you know, that I come out with new ways to do the little crosshatch skin, similar to the texture on the skin. So I'm always trying to invent new ways to do it, and to, so the kind of playing with clay is always, since I was very little growing up, I always loved playing with clay. So this is, playing with clay is so nice to me. So.
Yeah, yeah. You don't have to answer this. This is a private question.
No, you can ask me anything.
Do you have a favorite product to bring home?
I'm not sure if you caught that, but just to be clear, that was me asking Anjani a question that would probably be considered inappropriate if either of us had different jobs.
Do you have a favorite product to bring home?
She was very cool about me asking that question, but for a dick artist, her answer is surprising.
You will be surprised to know that I don't really use toys. I don't use them.
No,
I don't know. I have tried to use products, but to me,
there's nothing more sensual
than another human. And I do wrestling, I do Brazilian jiu-jitsu, so I love that touching, squeezing someone, and that person-to-person touch. Uh-huh. Yeah, like, to me, I don't really enjoy it. I have played with toys, I play a little bit with, you know, just experimenting with things, even with the BDSM, like with the, you know, but I, to me, it's nothing like just person-to-person. I haven't really used a lot of stuff, no.
Hey, penis havers. Are you looking to dazzle your partner with your newly shined golden rod?
Ta-da!
Well, look no further than Original Boner Gel.
That is right, because Original Boner Gel is the most advanced luxury skincare product for men, specifically targeting your skincare needs below the belt.
OBG's naturally inspired breakthrough formula uses collagen, organic vitamin E oil, apple stem cells, and Buttea superba to remove wrinkles and make your cock look like it just got to Hollywood.
Ooh, and that's not all, because the delicious smell of OBG is going to be an immediate aphrodisiac for your partner, because it's made from the finest oud essential oil.
Ooh.
And that's not all. OBG can also function as a high-quality oil-based lube. This is maybe my favorite thing about it. And that means you can rub one out as you're giving your cock a facelift. I mean, you're always ready to go.
Be prepared for people to shout at your cock, "Hey, are you on a CW show?" Courtney, I know you personally have had a lot of experience, because I've heard Wade's cock just got cast on Euphoria.
Well, he actually just made me sign a non-disclosure, so all I'm going to say is that thing looks amazing. I can't wait for the paycheck.
You love to see it. And you know what else you love to see? Original Boner Gel is offering our listeners 20% off your order when you go to originalbonergel.com and enter code PRIVATE at checkout.
That's originalbonergel.com and use code PRIVATE to get 20% off your new favorite skincare.
originalbonergel.com, code PRIVATE.
Rub it.
Chub it.
Squirt it. So let's rewind to get Anjani's journey as a sex toy designer. At the beginning, she didn't know there was such a thing as a dick artist either. She was just a regular old artist doing an art show when her painter friend gave her the 411.
See, I worked in two companies before the Johnson. The first one that I started working, I think I told you about a friend who we have like an art exhibition, and he told me to take the job over. Yeah, it was
Filipino friend, painter friend.
It was very well-known Filipino artist. Yeah, we have an exhibition together with our paintings in Los Angeles, and that's how we met. And then he told me about the job. That was a flip manufacturing with the owner of the guy. He's a wonderful guy. We still, I haven't seen him in a while, but we were very close for a while. You know, I used to go to visit him at his place, at his home. His name is Phil Berman. Yeah, Phil was very nice. Not only boss, but a very good friend, and we were very close. Yeah, so Phil was very nice.
So Anjanae's first adult novelty design job was for Phil Berman at his company, Phil Manufacturing. And turns out Phil was a very nice boss indeed.
He was such a wonderful guy that he did something that almost nobody does, that when I was working for him, he was super happy with my job. I worked for him, I think it was like from 93 to 95, something like that. There was another guy that used to be one of his customers that he wanted to start a big company in Las Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, that was Taylor Coleman. You know, he was the owner of that Castle Boutique, which is very well known in Arizona. It's like a huge boutique. It's still around. So Taylor, he called Phil and said, you know, I would love to have someone like Anjani, you know, like she can design for you. And then he told Phil, because they were, you know, good friends, he said, Phil, you know, I think I'm gonna steal Anjani from you. I'm willing to double her salary.
Uh-huh.
And then Phil said, are you sure you want to pay her? And then she's here, she's with her husband. So I don't know, let me talk to her because I don't want to lose her. But if you're willing to pay her double, I don't want to stop her from making more money and maybe, you know, having a better life. So he was such a wonderful guy. He called me and he said, I don't want you to go, but I also don't want you to stop maybe doing better because I cannot pay you more than this guy is going to pay you. So he put me in touch with the guy.
The guy Phil put Anjani in touch with was Taylor Coleman. And Taylor Coleman was the owner of Castle Boutique Novelties, which seems to be called Castle Megastore nowadays.
And I ended up going with my husband. That was like, I think it was 95. Yeah, in 95, we went to Las Vegas. And then he was a good guy too. We got along very well with Taylor Coleman. And he gave us a car. He gave us an apartment, you know, a condominium in Las Vegas. I was fixed in Arizona. We went to Arizona, which I didn't like it at all. So we were a few months in Arizona. And then with him, you know, starting doing all the molds and a few designs for him. And then he decided to open like a huge, I think that was his big mistake. That he was just the beginning and he started big, you know, like bigger than Doc Johnson. So he spent like, I don't know how many millions of dollars. He got into a big debt. He wanted to do everything so modern and beautiful. He even made a very fancy office for us, for me and my husband. And he was spending so much money. And so we were there, I think, a little bit less than a year, like 95, beginning in 96. And that's when he started kind of floundering, not doing too well, because he got more than he could chew, like they say, you know, it was too much for him.
Oh, classic business mistake. Being so hungry for success that you bite off more than you can chew. So they had some fun months in Las Vegas, but there were signs that the ship was sinking. But someone from Doc Johnson was about to throw her a life raft.
So I got a phone call from Ron McAllister, he was the like a general manager, and he was the designer at Doc Johnson. He used to work in clay, used to do all the designs with her. I got a phone call from him and he said, you know, somebody told me about you and that you are a designer for this company. And you hear some rumors, you know, that they wanted to try to take me. Doc Johnson wanted to try to take me from these guys. And I don't know anything behind the scenes, you know, but that's what you hear.
This is hilarious. It seems like folks in the sex toy industry love to poach each other's talent. However, there also seems to be a heartening streak of trying to do right by their employees.
But I'm always very honest in my life. So I went to Taylor and said, Taylor, I see you having a lot of trouble with the company. I got a phone call from Doc Johnson. They wanted to have an interview with me. Are you sure that you want to stay around? Because I will stay with you because I really like you and you like me. And, you know, we used to get together, go to his mansion. And, you know, he was a very good friend of us. He became like a good friend. And then I said, are you going to stay around? I will stay with you. And then he said, you know, Gianni, I'm not sure. I think we're not going to make it. And you have to do whatever is best for you. So I went to I drove from Las Vegas to North Hollywood to meet with Ron McAllister and Ron Braverman, and I don't know, someone else was there. And then I just showed him what we have done, you know, some pictures of the stuff we had done. And they already kind of knew about me, you know, like Ron McAllister, somebody told him about me, about my designs and that I have experience. So I showed him, and I got along with Ron McAllister very well. And he was going to be his assistant. And then he said, yeah, you can start right now if you want. And I said, maybe next week I have to go to Las Vegas. And, you know, he has to move. And again, you know. Yeah, so we went back with my husband. So they hired us, me and my husband, as designers. And then we went back to Las Vegas, say goodbye to Taylor, and came back here.
And that was in, like, 96?
I started in Doc Johnson at the beginning. I think it was, like, April of 96.
So you're on your 26th year?
Yes.
Congratulations.
Anjane's been with Doc Johnson for 26 years, and she's worked as a dick designer for even longer. She's seen the sex toy industry go from perverted pariahs to fully embraced by the mainstream as far as the public perception is concerned. So I had to ask how that's impacted how she feels about her job or how her friends and family treat her job.
That's a beautiful question. You know why? Because in the beginning, for the first 10 years, I never told anybody what I did for work because I was ashamed too. Even that I was not ashamed of what I did because to me it was art, like making a penis, making a vagina, or working in butt plugs and all this, just the names and all that kind of stuff. You know, even that I'm very sensual too. To me, that was like something kind of private. And so when people, you know, friends and family, even my family didn't, all my family is back in Colombia, but when they ask me, I always say I'm an artist. Uh-huh. I am a designer. I'm all right. You know, any forms, anybody who asks me, I'm an artist, right? Uh-huh. Oh, what kind of art? Oh, I do designs. Unfortunately, I did some, you know, I used to, and I still do make like Hindu goddesses and gods and Buddha sculptures and all that kind of stuff too. I love that stuff. So I used to make that and sell them. So that's what I told people that I did for a living. Like I'm a sculptor, I do art. And I didn't know when someone, there is a few people who came for wanted interviews or picture. I always hide. You're like, I don't want it to be in any online thing people see. Yeah, I did it. To me, it was like kind of a shameful, like, I'm an artist, I'm spiritual. I don't want anybody to see me doing these things or talking about me doing sex toys. But then when things start becoming a little bit more mainstream and people start being more open, even, you know, celebrities and stuff like that talking about this, producing movies and all this thing coming out. So I started realizing that this is my job and I'm proud of this and I'm creating something. And I'm sure, you know, in the last 20 something years, how many people in the world have been happy using something that I designed or that I made? And I used to go to, you know, even to Europe, I went to Europe, South America. I just came back from Chile too. And I sometimes walk into the store and I see a lot of the stuff that I have designed. And I'm like, these people, it's funny because sometimes I walk and I see the store with my designs. And I said, it's funny because these people doesn't even know that I made this, you know, and how many people have been using this all over the world. So now I don't mind that, you know, I've been, you know, I was featured also in the like New York Times and, there's so many pictures online of me designing, and now I really don't. Like, to me, I'm proud. Like, this is my work. This is my creation. This is what I do, and it's very creative. And I'm doing something that I love, which is designing and doing artwork and making so many people happy, basically, you know, somebody who uses one of the products, you know, they use it for pleasures, you know.
Yeah.
Hey, privates, has your sex fallen into the same old dull routine? You can break those habits with a fun, sexy box from Like a Kitten.
Yes, Like a Kitten will ship you a gift box with all your erotic essentials, from vibrators and massage oils to robes and handcuffs. It's your one-stop shop for a perfect evening.
Meow! And this month, they're helping you choose your own adventure with their BYOB box, aka Build Your Own Box. You get to choose one item out of each of their six categories. That's toys, beauty products, lubes and cleansers, games, sexy accessories, and lingerie. And then within each category, you have eight or more products you can choose from, so you can build an experience that's customized to your specific desires.
I love doing the BYOB box. It is the perfect way to spice things up. So what's some of your favorite stuff that you've gotten?
I like the erotic massage candles that can light and then drip on your partner, and it's like a nice oil that you can rub in. They have that really cute vibe from Zalo that I really like.
Love that.
That looks like a heart. I also really like the bracelets that look like gold cuffs that are really like cute.
Those are so hot. Anyway, privates, what is amazing is that the box only costs $79, and some of the vibrators alone retail for $79. So the entire box of six gifts is a steal.
And what's even cooler than that is that a portion of all sales goes to charities that focus on women's empowerment, education, and health. So you can feel good while feeling good.
And right now, Like a Kitten is offering our listeners 20% off and free shipping when you go to likeakitten.com/private or enter code private at checkout.
Just go to likeakitten.com/private or use code private to get 20% off these incredible boxes.
likeakitten.com/private. The link is in this episode's description.
I've been reading a lot about, you know, COVID has obviously had people at home and they've been lonely. And so have you seen a lot of growth at Doc Johnson in sex toy sales, and has it informed anything different about the business?
What is different on my side? I'm going to answer your first questions, which I'm not super familiar because I'm mostly the designer. So,
right.
But what we hear, like a last meeting we have over the Zoom, also with chat and all the salespeople, is that Doc Johnson is been doing even better than years past because of COVID. So
amazing.
I think maybe so a lot of people maybe is buying stuff because they're staying at home. But I hear that they have like a wonderful year, like the last 2 years that they've just doing so good.
There was a lot of media about how sex toy sales were through the roof while everyone was stuck at home during the lockdowns. So I reached out to Chad Braverman, who happens to be the second generation Braverman to run Doc Johnson. Actually, if you want to listen to a really funny blast from the past, check out an old episode of Reality Bites where Soph, myself, and our co-host friend Dave interviewed Chad and his sister Erica way back in 2018. Anyway, this is what Chad had to say about how COVID impacted the company when I reached out to him. Quote, "The pandemic affected Doc Johnson in almost every way. While sales did initially skyrocket, it was a double-edged sword to source materials and continue producing at the pace required. As we make many of our products in-house, we needed to prioritize keeping our workers safe while ensuring the quality of the products did not falter. There were definitely highs and lows, but I'm proud of how we as a company handled everything." Nice. And as for Anjane, here's how she's been adjusting.
And from my side, like I'm working from home today too. I really love it still because I can explore also. I don't know if I told you before that I'm mostly working with clay. You know, I do clay stuff. This is how I started doing like spiritual sculpture with clay, but
now
that I'm
home, I've been able to explore 3D. I'm doing a lot of 3D work. I'm working on the computer now.
Oh, my God.
So I designed on the computer also some of the pieces that I used to do in clay, which I still do because it's a lot of very fine details that you cannot get on the computer as I would like to do in the clay. But it still allowed me to design the 3D part, which I have my own 3D printer here. Let me show you. Can you see it?
Oh, that's so cool.
Yes, I bought my own 3D printer so I can print from home too. So I can make quick changes that instead of clay, it takes longer. So for example, this one, I printed on the 3D. It's like a plastic piece from the 3D printer. If I show this to, we go to a meeting and then we show this piece and they said, oh, it looks nice, but can you make the head a little smaller and can you make it maybe a little higher? I just go on the computer and instead of 7 inches, I just input 9 inches and I just go for it, like in an instant, in a few seconds. But in clay, if I made this and they said, can you make it 9 inches? I have to cut the piece, I have to put clay, uh-huh. It takes time, and I have to make sure it matches the other parts. So it takes more labor to do by hand. So the good thing about the computer is that it can you can make from a little tiny one, and you just say, I want it 1 inch, 2, 5, 6, 7, 8, and I just go click instant. So that's the good thing. I'm leading these new programs now. So
that's incredible. So you started that with COVID, or you were kind of working on it before and then you started doing more?
I kind of dabbled before when I was doing my own. I do my own little things too. I do like it for Etsy. Yeah, I have like Etsy little store with the spiritual. I do the Buddhas and stuff.
This follow-up interview took place on Zoom, and throughout the interview, Anjane was showing me these very cool pieces of art that she'd made. It was like little Buddhas and aliens and some work stuff and her poetry book. So when you hear me in awe, that is why.
So I used to play a little bit with the digital sculpting. I played with that before, but just now with the COVID things, like they want me to stay home before, you know, like when everything happens. And now sometimes I get to stay home too. So I put more attention on doing these realistic pieces in the new program. So I've been learning like ZBrush and other programs that are professional programs that artists use for the movies.
That's so cool. So how often do you go in and do your, because you had such a cool like office area. How often do you go in and do that?
To my office, so you mean here at home, to the office at work?
You, yeah, like how often are you home versus at the Doc Johnson office?
In the beginning, it was for a long time, I was just at home. And then I just go in when I need to drop some pieces, or I just, we have a meeting and we need to talk about something. But now I've been at work most of the time. Like this past week, I've been working some pieces here at home because I don't have now all the programs at work. I have them in my, them at home. I have everything here. But I'm like half and half. Like sometimes I'm here like a couple of days and then go there for 3 days. Or I do something there and then I come here and finish it. And uh-huh. Yeah, so it's
like, so do you like the, are you actually happy with the new workflow?
I do like it. Like I wish I could, it could be like that forever. Just because, so you
maybe
ask
it will be.
Yeah, man. Maybe like you do, like you understand how much freedom you have. Like, for example, simple things that you never think about it. Like at work, for example, to go to the bathroom. The bathroom, I don't have a bathroom nearby. I have to walk all the way to the front office. Sometimes they're busy and I have to come back and I have to wait and go back again. But here, you know, when you're working from home, you're working here, you know, you want to go to a bathroom, this bathroom is right here. You feel like having a coffee, you just make coffee and have a coffee, and you know. So it's, I think it's, and then you play some music, and it's so much more. And for an artist, I'm sure you understand that too, that it's so important. Like, I cannot be here for 3, 4, 5 hours. Right. I need to get up and breathe a little bit, maybe walk outside for a few minutes and, you know, let your head clear, and then you come back and do it more. So you have that. So much freedom, you know?
Yeah.
You can probably already tell that Anjanae and I are kindred spirits, but this was the most relatable thing ever for me. Like, yes, the pandemic sucked ass for a lot of reasons, but ushering in the work from home movement was not one of them in my book. Hell yes, it should be easier to pee and drink coffee while you're working. Preach, Anjanae, preach.
Privates, have you ever been super stressed out after a hookup because you weren't sure of what your STD status was?
Oh my God, Googling like every STD known to man. Do I have this?
Writing sad songs, looking up things that rhyme with chlamydia.
Well, you don't have to live like that because you can know your STD status. And knowing your STD status protects you and your partners. And now you can discreetly test at home with Everlywell.
Everlywell at-home lab tests give you physician-reviewed results and personalized insights so you can take action on your health and wellness, all at an affordable and transparent cost.
With over 30 tests, you'll be able to choose the ones that make the most sense for you. Food sensitivity, metabolism, sleep and stress, and thyroid are just a few of the many options. And of course, their STD test discreetly allows you to test for 7 types of STDs, all from the privacy of your own home.
Ugh, I love that. Here's how it works. Everlywell ships your at-home lab test straight to you with everything needed for a simple sample collection. Using the prepaid shipping label, you mail your test back to a certified lab, and in just days, your physician-reviewed results and actionable insights are sent to your device. And you can share the results with your primary care physician to help guide your next steps.
Over 1 million people have trusted Everlywell with their at-home lab testing, including us. I recently got a food sensitivity test, and my latest test was a women's health test, and I am so excited to get the insights.
And even though I'm in a monogamous marriage, it was nice to know that our STD tests were clear.
And for listeners of the show who want to give it a try, Everlywell is offering a special discount of 20% off an at-home lab test at everlywell.com/private.
That's everlywell.com/private for 20% off your at-home lab test.
everlywell.com/private.
Tell me about your art. Tell me about your non-Doc Johnson art.
Yes, like me, like I just wrote this book. It's a poetry book.
Divine Indifference.
Yes, that's my own poetry book. It's on Amazon. So I do have, you know, I do write a lot of poetry. So I just published this one, but I have like hundreds of poems. I'm going to be, that's one of my goals for 2022. I want to publish like at least a couple of poetry books. I've been working on some of my paintings. I've been working on my sculptures. I've been even digital or with clay for my own pleasure. I paint, I do jujitsu, I think, you know, so I just got my brown belt.
Oh, my amazing. Congratulations. Yeah.
So in case chat is watching this, be careful. I just got my brown belt in Brazilian jiu-jitsu. Yeah, so I always try to keep busy. You know, life is so short in this physical plane, you know, and I try to just have fun, enjoy it, and do something that I really love to do. That's the best thing. Like, I really love creating, sculpting, anything that you have to use your imagination. That's always in childhood, always been very creative. So I always love that kind of stuff. So when you can do that to make a living and to, you know, for daily living, that makes your life more interesting and, you know, at least for the little time that we're here.
That's so beautiful. Yeah, well, I was going to ask you if like the pandemic has had any impact. I mean, we talked about professional impact, but if it's had any like personal perspective shift for you, but it sounds like you've been thinking in that way already.
Yes, but actually, it did have, you know, I'm sure like most of us went through so many stuff. Like personally, you've always done meditation and yoga and breathing. And so I'm always aware of that spiritual nature that we are. But for some reason, I never experienced anxiety until after I was completely at home.
Oh.
Because when the pandemic started and they said, you have to stay home and don't come to work. And I think I was like in a layoff for a couple of months or something when I started. And so all my academy, you know, the Jiu-Jitsu Academy was closed. They closed down all the gyms, you know, you cannot really do a lot of stuff. So I was mostly inside my little place, you know, a small place. So I was mostly, and I love to be alone, you know, I enjoy loneliness a lot. So I don't mind, but I was all the time here just reading and writing. And I got so much into that that I didn't realize that that affects your physical and mental body too. So after a while, I couldn't, you know, there was a time when I was so much inside without talking to anybody. Mm-hmm. That I start feeling this, I thought I was sick, you know, it was hard for me to breathe, and I went to the hospital, and I was like, I can't breathe, you know, and I have asthma too, so, and the doctor said, no, you know, they did all the kind of tests, and said, you are perfect, there is nothing, I think might be anxiety, and I said, I don't even know what that is, I'm an older lady, and I never have anxiety in my life, I always so relaxed, and he said, yeah, maybe because of, you need to get out in the sun, you need to walk it because your academy is closed and you haven't been working out after working out for so many years and now you suddenly you stop. So that's what I find out about that, how that can affect your body and mind. So I will start going out to, you know, get more sun, to walk, to hike in the hills, to do more exercise, to try to breathe and relax. And I've been doing naturally, so I don't like to take anything for any of that, you know. I just try to do everything the natural way. So fortunately, I'm okay, yes.
You're feeling better?
Yes, yes, much better. Now I recognize that. So when it tries to happen now, because sometimes when you are too much inside the place and I love to read, I have like hundreds of books and all these antique spiritual books from India, and I've got too much into that. So when I feel it a little bit kind of off, then I know what to do. I don't get like little always going on. I just relax and breathe and go outside and take a walk. And I now understand the pattern, so I can handle it much better.
Good.
So if you know how big of a pain in the ass HJs can be, right?
Yeah, and a pain in my wrist, honestly. Damn.
Seriously. Well, Beducated is bringing us all some relief because their latest course is all about hand job mastery. It teaches you penis anatomy and pleasure techniques for giving the most gratifying hand jobs ever.
I love learning from Beducated. Basically, Beducated is like the Netflix of sexual wellness. They believe that sexual happiness is trainable, and so they have an online course platform with easy-to-follow video, audio, and written guides. They provide techniques and information to level up your love life.
Plus, they offer an expert-backed library of courses from Tantra to Kink to explore new practices and upgrade your lovemaking skills. And not just on a physical level, also on an emotional and mental level, too. Like, I just took a course called Roadmap to Intimacy, and it was all about how to better take cues and feedback from your partner, and it makes your love life so much better.
I love that so much. And you know what else I love? All of the Beducated subscription benefits. You get unlimited access to all their online courses. You get 100 plus hours of video and audio content. You get tips from their world-renowned educators. And you get new content every week that's also super high quality. And you can stream it on any device.
So here's a hot tip, privates. You can join Beducated for as little as $9.99 per month when you use our code PRIVATE.
That's 65% off when you use our coupon code PRIVATE at Beducated.com.
That's Beducated.com and use code PRIVATE. The link is in our episode description. Of course, you never want a good dick artist to hang up her smock. But I wanted to ask about retirement, which led to yet another insightful story.
Do you ever think about retiring, or you're good to go?
It's funny that you asked me that because I made the biggest mistake, but I'm always more emotional than logical.
Yeah.
So what happened is like in 2010, we got little issues with, you know, with work. We feel like in charge yet. I think Chad was still starting over there. And yeah. So me and my husband, we got some issues. We were feeling like, many issues, financial, and, we have so many personal things going on too, but we were feeling like it was time for us to leave. Like we feel we were not really respected, mm-hmm. and many things happened, not only at work, but also in our personal lives. And we said, we are out of here. That was 2010. We said, we're leaving. We just decided to leave. So we said, we're leaving. I'm getting all my 401k. And, we sold the place that we have. I'm originally from Colombia, so I was planning to go to Colombia. But my husband is from Honduras. So we said, let's buy this beautiful 10 acres coffee plantation in Honduras. So we took like $200,000 down to Honduras. I took my cars, we sold everything. I said, goodbye, US, and never coming back. And I don't want to know anything. I'm retired, younger, I'm beyond retired. Like before I hit my, I think I was even like 40, in my 40s, So I said, I'm retired so young, so goodbye, I just want to do my life. I have so many dreams, I'm going to go to this mountain and meditate and teach and spiritually and with my organic farm and do some coffee and live in peace, die in peace over there. All these dreams, do my artworks, paint. My husband is an artist too, so all these sculptures and paintings. So we left, we didn't say goodbye almost to anybody. We just took off. I give everything away and I just took a lot of my books, all my money. I went to Honduras and I bought this very nice land and a river and, but then I start making, because I'm very emotional, like an artist, I follow my feelings, which a lot of times is nice, but sometimes common sense is out of the door. So I just start buying a lot of stuff that I didn't know about, I had like 30,000 plants of coffee and I start building this beautiful big house and money started, spending all these workers, people working for me. And then I started realizing that with time, it's not easy to just go and live up in a mountain. We have so many problems with the roads and then the cars and the electricity. I have to pay for all the electricity for the place. I have to install the electricity myself. And then you have to all the water things, and it's like so many things. And then I started sinking more money. And then I started finding out that the land that I bought, because I was going from here from the US to Honduras, I ended up paying like double. Everything was double for me, like double the price for everything. So we spent so much money, I threw away so much money. So, and things with my husband also, we got into issues and so many things going on. That was a time for learning. To me, everything that happens to you is like a mirror. Like life is a mirror where you can see yourself. Instead of blaming things outside, people tend to blame things outside of themselves. Oh, like the Buddha said, he did this to me, she did this to me. Instead of that, I just, why this is happening to my life? That I need to make a change because things are not going right. So everything started going down and down. And I got so many bad relationships over there with people that are taking advantage of me. So I said, I don't want to go into that victim, like they're doing this. So I said, I'm just going to drop everything now. Everything stops here. It was like 2 years. It was 2010 to 2012. So I said, I'm going to have to start from zero. So I just decided to cut off my losses. I lost thousands of dollars, and I said, I'm going to start from zero and I'm going to just go back to the US. And I wrote, Chad was already in charge of the company. So I remember I sang it. There is a couple of companies that contacted me that they wanted to work for them, like Topco. I met with the guy from Topco, but I wasn't too happy with these people. But Chad, I was in touch with Chad. So he said, Jan, if you want to come back, you can come back. We still need you. And, you have a unique talent. I'm happy with him now because now I feel that he really values more, like in the beginning. Uh-huh. They didn't really value in the beginning when we started there, they didn't value the designers. You know, like I think most companies always, the people who is doing some artwork, designing, they always kind of, you know, like
taken for granted.
Yeah, especially 20 years ago, 30 years ago, like they don't value that much. I think now people start valuing now as hard, you know, we are all a team, but now they understand that when you make a product, you design a product, you make something, that the person behind that is very important too, you know, and there's a unique talent that you have. So I think chat understood them now, you know, being younger, you know, new generation. So so I came back to Doe Johnson 2012. So I came back here with zero, you know, I came back starting from zero. Yeah, and it was hard for me. Fortunately, I have done martial arts all my life. So I have done Shaolin and Tai Chi and yoga and all that, but wrestling. But then in that time when I came back, I found Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, which really, they always have this funny thing about how many people say that Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu saved my life. But actually, it really helped me to get out of that. You know, when I came, it wasn't all happily, you know. I came and it was hard for me because I lost everything and you have to start from zero. And spiritually, I've always been very strong, you know, because I believe that we create our own reality. So I was trying to learn from everything. But I was a little bit downhill, you know, like very going through a little bit of depression, you know, because everything that happens and starting from zero again when I have all these dreams and everything crumbled down. And I think Jiu-Jitsu helped me to get out of that. And that's how I got into my tattoos, which it helped me a lot too. Right? I started doing my own tattoos. That was like a therapy for me.
Very cool.
Yeah, so I bought a tattoo machine and I started doing my own tattoos, you know, with all these Buddhist mantras and figures and Hindu and Hanuman and Shiva and Krishna. And that was like a meditation for me. And when I came back alone too. So doing all my tattoos, doing the Jiu-Jitsu with, you know, grappling is, you know, it's already proven also that besides that I love grappling all my life, it's like hugging someone, you know, when you hug someone, all of that help you also to give you that happiness, you know. So Jiu-Jitsu, I think between Jiu-Jitsu, doing my tattoos, writing, you know, a lot of poetry, that's what I wrote a lot of these poems to, that kind of keep me afloat in that time of my life that it was like very low time. In many sense, and I start going up again, and then expanding in more wisdom. And to me, that was like a big school, like going to school in those all these years to be who I am now. That I'm now understand why I went through a lot of the stuff, things that I needed to change in my life, and just expand. And next time that's going to happen to me, like next time when I say now I'm ready to go, it's like really I'm just. Like the Tao, you know, I'm just floating and kind of letting things, let life flow without forcing it. Because that was one mistake that I made. I think I forced things, you know, like I need to leave this place. I'm going now, you know, like forcing things to happen. And I understood that you can, in life, you cannot force things. Like you cannot force someone to love you. You know, like you have to love me. Like it's better when, you know, when things just happen spontaneously and start flowing, yes. So now that's what I'm letting my life flow. And this time that I almost really, I feel that I wanted to, when I leave, now it's going to be beautiful and flowy and perfect and peaceful and all of that stuff.
But you're not in a rush. You're not in a rush to leave. You're in a good spot, would you say?
Yes, to retire. The beautiful thing, you know, we have some other guys who work at the company too. Sometimes they are in their 70s and 60s, you know, 68, 65. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I ask them, you know, so you want to retire? And they made me sad because the answer that you hear, and maybe you hear this before that, but what am I going to do at home? I'm sitting all day, watch TV, like so sad. But to me, the beautiful thing is that I can leave anytime because I have so much things to do on my own. I have sculpting, I have writing, I have reading, I have meditation, I have jiu-jitsu. Now that I got my brown belt, I'm like 2 years away from my black belt, which takes like 12 years. So 2 more years, I get my black belt. I can teach. I'm thinking about opening an academy maybe down in Colombia. Maybe here.
Oh, cool.
I don't know. Yeah, so I can teach jujitsu. I can teach yoga. I can teach meditation. I can do my eye work. I start selling some stuff in Etsy. You know, some of my aliens. You know, some aliens. I have some Buddhas and Krishnas. So I can retire and I can still have so many things to do in my life. That's the beauty about us, that we love, you know, like I'm sure you love writing, and that we have some kind of creative outlet, you know.
I hope you caught a fraction of the truth bombs Anjanae was dropping. Jiu-jitsu is like hugging someone. The idea that getting through tough times in our lives is like going to a big school. Just floating, going with the flow, not trying to force things in life. I mean, yes, amen. I have had a blast on the few occasions I've had a chance to chat with Anjanae. But I wanted to know what it was like to work with her. So I reached out to Chad Braverman, who runs Doc Johnson, and this is what he said. Quote, Anjanae is an incredible part of the team. She is able to create gorgeous, realistic, and non-anatomical designs, and she draws inspiration from everywhere. It's always fun to walk through her office and see the shapes that have influenced her work. She's been with Doc for so many years and is responsible for many of our top sellers, unquote. And don't worry, sex toy lovers, she's still excited about what's in store for her upcoming years at Doc Johnson.
I think the most important thing is that I've been good in my job and Doc Johnson, and now that I found out about how I can do all this digital stuff.
I love that.
The digital design. So I think I can personally and work-wise, I can contribute so much more now to my job because I can do so many things that I couldn't do by hand. There are a lot of these things so hard to do by hand, like a lot of these weird details, you know, and you can just do this with a computer so easily. So I'm excited about the next few years with all what I can do with the digital stuff. Hopefully we never know, you know, how long I'm going to be there or I'm going to be on this earth. But I'm just going to try to do the best I can every single day and just keep flourishing and prospering and being creative.
Beautiful.
Well, that was awesome. And it's really cool to know that dick technology is always evolving. And
I know,
you never
right?
know what kind of artistry might inspire the next dick design. I cannot wait to see what she whips up in her dick lab next.
The technology is incredible. And I also just loved getting inside the mind of a dick artist a little bit more. I mean, there's a lot going on in there.
There really is. That was so cool.
So if you are now on a sex toy kick, which I can't blame you, make sure to go back and check out our recent episode, Vibrators, A Brief History. We do a deep dive into everything you need to know about the history of vibrators. It is a fun romp through the ages, let me tell you.
Yeah, it's actually one of my favorite episodes. It's super fun. And if you're looking for a totally different vibe, tonally, might I suggest checking out our last episode, A Love Letter to Ukraine, where Courtney interviews me about Odessa, Ukraine, where I'm from. And you get to have a little bit of insight into, I don't know, my heart.
It's a really beautiful tribute and very timely. So definitely check that out. And of course, make sure you're signed up to our newsletter. There's a link in the description. It is privatepartsunknown.substack.com. We always put out extra information about our episodes, and there's ways to help in Ukraine and travel tips and sex tips and all kinds of fun stuff like that. So make sure you are signed up for that. And make sure you're following along on our social medias. Our Instagram account is bumpin'. That is Private Parts Unknown. That's also our Facebook. And we are on Twitter at Private Parts Un.
And you can follow us individually. I am at The Sophia, S-O-F-I-Y-A, on Twitter and Instagram.
And I am at Courtney Kosak, K-O-C-A-K. Hey, Sophia, what's that bomb-ass music?
This music is by our awesome friend, Amy Rosh. You should get it at her website, amyraasch.com.
This episode was mixed by Mike Castaneda from Plastic Audio.
Michael, I will never tell anybody to paint your dick without permission.
You went high this time. What happened?
I know. I know. And for some reason, I affirmed consent for Mike, which I don't think he really needed from me.
There's a lot going on in that song. Okay. Also, props to our social media queen, Holly Brown. She also happens to be a hilarious comedian in her own right. So check her out at Holly Brown Comedy on Instagram. And you can also check out her comedy show, Salty AF Show. And now it's time for...
the review of the week.
This one is from Castbox FM. I recently found several reviews on there, and I was delighted by them. So this one is from Kathy and Don Green. And Kathy says, love, love, Private Parts Unknown. One of my favorite podcasts. Seriously, laugh out loud, and some great information. Thank you, Kathy.
Kathy, rock the cast box. Rock the cast box. I'm so sorry, Kathy. Thank you so much. You didn't deserve that.
You rocked our little world, Kathy. Thank you so much. And if you want to rock our world, head on over to ratethispodcast.com/private. They make it so easy for you to rate and review our show on whatever platform you listen to us on, and maybe even some that you don't. Please give us a 5-star rating and a review. And frankly, if you have anything but 5 stars for us, just email us or keep it to yourself, because it's not helping. So if you want to send us some love, we encourage that. Head on over to ratethispodcast.com/private. Again, if you have anything negative to say, keep it to yourself. Thank you.
This also goes out to my mother. Okay, great.
All right, we'll check you guys next time.
Bye.